This is Papa Joe Aviance, and you're listening to The District Channel.
Welcome back to The District Channel. It's your girl, Yenny, a.k.a. Ju Better.
What's up, man? It's your boy, Arvin, a.k.a. Superman, the Silverback, and we are your ticket to The District.
Yes,
we have a very special guest today.
Oh, my goodness. I'm so excited for our guest today. Today, we have Papa Joe Aviance, and seriously, the background, everything that he's done has just been so impressive and inspirational. I mean, just a little bit of what he's done. I mean, he has a successful clothing company. His music topped the Billboard charts. He's a two-time Amazon best-selling author, and he's soon to be a television producer. I mean, what hasn't he done, honestly? And Papa Joe's journey began after his song, Last Night, A DJ Saved My Life, was number 6 on Billboard's dance chart. On top of that, the music video for the song was being played around the clock on MTV and VH1, and that's when he realized he was dissatisfied with his 450-pound body. Mm. So, what he began to do, Arvin, he started walking daily. In 18 months, he lost 250 pounds. Wow, Papa Joe, welcome.
What's up?
Sorry, I had to give the whole bio, seriously, because it was just so impressive.
Thank you so much.
Everything you've done, and just to be back, you said earlier you were from Virginia.
Yes.
So just to be back here, you know, in the area, local district, yeah. Right?
Came back home.
Yeah.
Got some home-cooked meals.
Yeah.
Exactly. So just, I really want to know a little bit more about how you began this journey and, like, why... You know, why you chose to do the things you did.
Well, I mean, first, thanks for having me, guys. Appreciate
thanks for being
it.
Here. Yeah,
shout out to everybody out there. Hey!
Can I just say Papa Joe flew here from L.A. This is so special.
Yeah, I was about
and
to
he brought
that.
His family and colleagues and just good. Amazing friends. Honestly, hey! Thank you for being here. Turn up. With Jesus.
I mean, everything, to be honest with you, start off, everything has kind of been a ripple effect to what I've done in my career. I worked on Wall Street and then just wasn't happy, was depressed with my life at the time, was in a bad relationship, just unhappy and unhealthy and uncomfortable. Moved out to LA, 2 suitcases and a dream, wanted to change my life and pursue something different. But, you know, acting and stuff like that and jobs were hard to come by. So what I did was... I had my first opportunity to have my first music video, which was music, and that came back in around in the play, and music came back into my life, and had the Billboard hit, Last Night a DJ Saved My Life. But when I saw myself in the video, I just didn't like the way I looked. Mm. I was depressed, I was unhappy again, and you know, I was just miserable. So I said, what's the easiest exercise that I could do? When it was walking.
Wow.
So I grabbed my tennis shoes and my dance music, and I started walking.
You know what I think is interesting is that, yes, someone can see this music video or listen to a song or something, but they don't see how that person actually feels behind the scenes.
Correct.
And the fact that you were so honest about that, I think it's a very, it's very inspirational, because you're being honest and genuine to the public and just mm-hmm. saying, look, this is, I wasn't happy with myself.
Yeah. I wasn't happy with myself. I wasn't satisfied with the way I looked.
Yeah.
You know, there's actually a point in the video, there's a clip at, I believe, 4 minutes and 19 seconds in that I can't look at to this day.
Wow.
Yeah, I still can't. So if you look up Last Night a DJ Saved My Life, Lula featuring Papa Joe, 4 minutes and 19 seconds, there was a profile shot in there that, like I said, I can't even watch to this day, because that was my wake up call. And that's how bad I saw myself, that I allowed myself to get that big at my heaviest, you know.
Yeah.
And then, you know, again, I was depressed. I didn't like to even look myself in the mirror.
Wow.
You know,
there were times 18 I was just, months.
Yeah. But again, it's focusing on, you know, eating less and moving
right.
more. And having to go through the process, right. you know, it's just, mm. and that's the problem. Yeah, it's easier said than done, but you got to go through the process,
yeah.
you know, and that's what I had to do, was figure it out. I had no nutritional background whatsoever. So I grabbed a food pyramid and I looked everything on the food pyramid and I said, okay, everything good on here, everything else bad.
I think the food pyramid has to be updated. I don't think it's correct.
But you know what though? It just gives you the basic outlines
right, yeah.
to what you know, to eating right. And that's what I followed for 6 months until I was able to put myself in a healthy mindset and continue walking. And what I found out, you know, through walking is that it's opened the doors to everything else that I've done, you know. And then from that and losing the weight, now I'm a best-selling author on Amazon.
Right.
You know, I wrote the book, Balancing the Scales.
Wow.
You know, became a best-selling author. So I went from recording artist to author to now TV producer.
Right.
But I mean, again, throughout the journey has just been, it's just been, you know, maintaining my health and wellness. And on top of that, you didn't mention this though, in the intro, I lost all of it for shopping for foods at a 99 cent store.
What?
At a 99 cent store.
Yeah.
It wasn't on here, but wow.
coining the phrase. Coining the phrase, the 99 cent diet. That's what that's what the claim to fame. I lost it all by walking, but I also lost it by shopping for foods.
Thank you for mentioning that because I there's this whole trend that you have to go to like Whole Foods or Trader Joe's.
Whole Foods, well, that's what it is.
Organic lifestyle. Yeah. Right?
It's like one of the biggest excuses that eating healthy is right. it will like put a dent in your pocket.
Yeah.
And that's why people don't do it.
Exactly. That was the excuse, and that's one of the things that I wanted to prove, with that you don't have to be wealthy to eat healthy.
Ooh, I like that.
You know what
health
I'm saying?
Health is wealth.
Yeah. And so when I walked into the 99 cent store, and be honest, when my friend told me they had fruits and vegetables, I turned my nose up like everybody else. I'm like, I am not shopping at the 99 cent store. And she's like, Papa Joe, go inside the 99 cent store. So I went inside the 99 cent
store. Wait, did we got that here though?
We got Aldi's.
We got Aldi's. No,
really? Aldi's is like the closest thing.
Yeah, and Littles.
Then what do you go shop? There you go. Save a buck.
I go there. Yeah, I go there. I'm just saying. Yeah.
Save a buck.
Because, you know, Costco be expensive.
Yeah. And so is Whole Foods and everything else.
Yeah, I don't go there. I don't know.
But I found an inexpensive way to lose the weight and to stay healthy. And that's one of the things. Because, again, the excuses, everyone's like, oh, it's so expensive to eat healthy. Yeah, if you're shopping at Whole Foods every day.
Yeah.
But if you shop, you know, alternative methods, then, you know,
it's just being,
outlets,
just
yeah.
Simple. It's a simple diet. You balanced it out. And honestly, you're supposed to get like 10,000 steps a day. I think that's what it is. Mm-hmm. And so, you were balancing out that. You don't have to go do
all
this.
I wasn't at the beginning. In the beginning, I actually was, I walked around the block one time, couldn't do it. And then I did it again the second time. And then what happened was, as the track went up in the billboards and the charts, I would walk to a further newsstand to go get the magazine as a reward.
What?
So by the time that it would get to number six, I was walking up to that 5 miles. And I would pass each newsstand and take that next step and go that next step, that next milestone.
That's a great system.
Yeah.
That's
the way I motivated myself. I'm like, it went up in the charts. Now go walk further.
Yeah. And not only that, but your transformation, it took you on to a lot of talk shows. You've been on Rachel Ray.
Yes.
You've been on The Doctors. You've been on the Hallmark Channel.
Yes.
I mean, what haven't you done?
Sold a show yet?
soon, yeah, to be continued.
Soon. No, but I mean, it really is, to be honest with you, one of the things that I said in writing the book was that, you know, I thought my weight was a life sentence, and it's not about the weight that I've lost. It's about the life that I've gained. And to be honest, you know what I'm saying? It's about the life that I gained. Being 450 pounds is not a happy, you know, I'm not a happy person. You're missing out on a lot of things in life that, you shortchanged yourself a little bit because of your weight. I just went skydiving.
Wow.
For the first time ever.
It's really
because, yeah, but because I'm under the weight requirement, under the weight restriction, I can do it.
Wow.
Do you know what I'm saying? I can do that now.
I don't think I'll do that if I can.
Sure you can.
even if I can do it.
You gotta push Armin.
But to have that experience and do it for the first time, you know what I'm saying? And to be able to do it. I mean, there was a point where I love roller coasters. Love them. Absolutely love them. But I got so big that I couldn't fit in the seat.
I fit in the seat of roller coasters. I don't like roller coasters.
But I love them. But again, I was letting my weight kind of...
You were letting it just affect you in everyday activities
you
and everything.
Correct. You loved roller coasters, and you let your weight, you know, eliminate that.
Correct.
Eliminate that excitement of your life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then again, what did I do? Go right back down. What happened was,
the real thing.
I'll keep it real. What happened was, I was at Six Flags, went on a roller coaster, got in the front car, and the guy said, sir, you're too fat to ride this ride. Ooh. Everybody got quiet, and it got quiet as a mouse, and then everybody started laughing. And literally, one little tear went down my eye like that. I'm like, oh, boy. And then what did I do? I went right to the concession stand, got a foot-long hot dog and some fries and a large Diet Coke.
Wow.
So.
That's.
And again, but see, the thing is, I'm an emotional eater. So it was like figuring out my triggers and learning. I mean, again, this is all, it's easier said than done. Go lose weight. Go be healthy, blah, blah, blah. But when you have to walk through the process, it's another different story.
Yeah.
You know that yourself.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
way to change something is to acknowledge it, right?
Exactly.
Is to acknowledge what is, that's determine what's the problem. What's the issue here? And so obviously you mentioned that, you know, because you're an emotional eater, you detected that this is what's making me eat so much, you know, when that's happening. And so, but I think it's impressive the fact that you took that and you just, I mean, seriously, because we need tips. I need tips on weight loss. I want to lose weight, and I'm sure other people
are out there. Are you an emotional eater?
I feel like I am now.
Okay.
I feel like I am now. Yeah. I will
say, if somebody cuts you off in traffic, do you go?
Oh, no. I won't say that. I'm more like, I'm trying to think. Am I an emotional eater?
Girl, we just eat. That's what we do. We just eat.
Yeah, we just eat no matter
what.
That's
what we do.
Yeah. No, but I wouldn't say I'm an emotional eater. I'm more of a, stressful eater. Mm-hmm. Same thing.
Okay. Yeah.
So maybe, if I'm stressed, I'm like, I want something to eat when I really don't.
You want a quick tip to figure out if you are? Mm-hmm. 3 W's. What, when, why? Okay.
What, when, why?
So grab a bag of Doritos. Okay. What? Bag of Doritos. When do I want it? I want it now. I want it right now. And then you're going to ask yourself, why do you want it?
It's like those Snickers commercials.
Yeah, but then you figure out your triggers and whether or not you're an emotional eater or not. And if you feel like, oh, I'm stressed out, I want this and this, just give yourself 5 minutes to figure that out. And then if you still want it and you're still mad or whatever, have at it. But usually, if you're on a mission, you've got a goal like I had in mind, you put it aside and stick to the plan.
Yeah, and I think that's like the hardest thing to do is stick to the plan.
Yeah.
The hardest thing to do is be disciplined. We were talking earlier and how you and I kind of had like the opposite.
Right.
I was small and I wanted to be big.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened with me, like what people don't understand, when people want to put on muscle, you have to eat. But you have to eat a lot, but clean. I was eating like around 4,000 calories a day of just pure chicken breast, turkey breast. Food started tasting like cardboard to me. But in order for me to get to my goal and be strong and big, I had to do that. And people would always tell me, we were talking about that too, that people always say, we want it. But at the same time, when it comes to doing the work, when it comes to like the food, when it comes to being disciplined, we kind of don't want it anymore. You know, like when people tell me, you know, I'm eating and nothing's happening. Well, eat some more, lift some more. That's what you have to do in order to get there. Now, if you want to lose weight, then that's a different story.
You gotta eat less.
You gotta eat less.
A lot less.
And it doesn't matter how hungry you are. You just eat less.
But you know what though? It's finding alternatives, and that's one of the things that I had to do. I love sweets, so I had to find a substitute.
Me too.
Yeah. So I've got a sweet tooth. So I had to find. But see, you trying to gain weight, so you can eat all you want. I'm trying to lose it.
Well, again, I'm a diabetic, so I couldn't eat just anything. I had to figure out how to eat a lot without affecting my glucose level. So it was very difficult for me. So I had to figure out and keep my glucose level on point. So I had to train super hard, and I had to be disciplined with my food. So it was a lot on the mind. It's a big mind game. Can you do it?
If you figure out, you take those times to figure out your triggers.
Exactly.
You can work through them.
So is that the system you use for self-discipline? You use the what, when, and why?
Mm-hmm.
That was your
As far as for food is concerned, because I wanted to figure out the types of food. I already knew that. I mean, I know I'm supposed to eat a salad, but I really wanted those chips. But you know what I'm saying? But I had to figure out why I wanted those chips. So that's what I did. I sat down and I came up with that system for myself because I was making bad choices. Prior to that, you know, obviously, 450 pounds, I was making the wrong choices.
So throughout these 18 months, because you lost it in 18 months.
Yes.
Throughout these 18 months.
Yeah.
And, okay, first of all, 250 in 18 months. That's insane. Let me put that out there. That's insane. So I guess, I'm going to ask you anyways. Did you ever have like a cheat day or a cheat meal?
Always.
And you lost it in 18 months?
Oh
my God.
See, that's the thing. I feel like people, when they start to think like you have to cut and weight loss, is like they have to restrict themselves. But I feel like that psychologically creates more like they can't do it. They give up because now they're thinking like, oh, now I have to cut this and that. This is hopeless and I don't want to.
Again, you have to do everything in moderation.
Yep.
You know, I used to eat a whole cake. Now I have a slice.
You used to eat a whole cake?
Oh, yeah. I used to eat 7,000 calories. I could put it down.
7,000 calories, and people were freaking out when I was eating 4,000.
I could at the time, 2 Big Mac meals, large size, whole chocolate cake, a family size bag of Doritos, and a 2-liter bottle of Mountain Dew, and probably the Diet Cokes after that as well. And that was just a late night binge section, not minus in breakfast, lunch, and dinner. If I went through the drive through, they knew my voice through the drive through.
Oh, that's Papa Joe.
Yeah. Papa Joe. The usual. Do you want the usual?
Uh-huh.
So
like me and Chipotle.
They already know. They had it ready.
You know what I'm saying? But then those habits, I'm in that cycle of not even paying attention to what I'm doing because I'm just on autopilot doing what I'm thinking. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And then once I made that decision to change my life and change my diet, then I said, okay, I still want that Big Mac. So what I would do was I would walk to the McDonald's to go get it, put some work in, walk back with it, and then sit down and eat it.
It's like a reward system.
Correct.
You're doing this reward system. Correct. And I see that constant on like this process that you're doing, which is good because you're creating.
I'm still
the
not giving it up, but I'm putting some work in and some effort into eating it and to better enjoy it. Now, I didn't enjoy it when I got home because it was cold and it wasn't as good. But guess what? I fulfilled that taste for that moment. I wanted that burger. Half of it. All right, I'm done.
You couldn't eat it at the McDonald's and then come back?
No, I wanted to put in extra work, just like you. It's like you for building us. Yeah. Okay, wait a minute. Pound it now. You're going to leave me hanging.
Oh, I'm sorry. My bad.
it's that extra push. You know what I mean? It's that extra lift like you're doing.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what I did. You know, it's taking that extra step.
It.
You know, and say, I could have ate it there, but I said, no, let me walk back home and burn a couple more extra calories. And then I could be satisfied with eating it, you know, and then I wouldn't feel so bad about eating it. Okay, I put in a little bit of work to go get this.
And I'm curious, how did others see your transformation or know about it? Because obviously you were on all these shows and other...
Well, that's where the whole Electric Negro came in, because that was my little nickname that I was calling myself, was the Electric Negro. When I was walking around like this little mini superhero, because I had transformed myself into that. So everyone was like, oh, you're Electric Negro.
Okay. Okay. Cause I got my nickname Superman the Silverback, so like it's you and I have a lot in common. It's just we went different routes.
Yeah, exactly.
Like the opposite, the same thing.
Yeah.
Cause when I was at the gym, I was this skinny guy. You know, I told you my story. I was this skinny guy. Everybody was making fun of me because I was struggling with 20 pounds. All of a sudden, like 8 months in, you see me lifting over 400 pounds, and they're just like, "How'd you do it?" So like, and I was like, "I was determined, man." I was determined. I want it. I'm hungry. I'm tired of being skinny. I'm tired of being the weak guy. I wanted to be strong. I wanted to be big and strong. I wanted you to see me coming in the gym and saying, that's the guy that makes holes in the gym because of the way that he deadlifts. You know? Like, that's the guy that you hear at the bottom floor, boom, like, making all that noise. Like, you know, they knew who I was when I was going into the gym after every, and Ricky can tell you because he would go film with me.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, like, gotta give me another one, man. I we have a lot in common, and it's just amazing how when you set your mind to something and you're hungry for it, you have this passion for it, and you know that it's going to cause an impact. And now you're not doing it just for yourself, but you're doing it to impact people.
Yeah. You know, I say take care of yourself first before you take care of anybody else.
Yeah.
So, you know, take care of yourself first and then, you know, here to spread the message, you know?
Yeah. And that's what we really appreciate your time, because you said that you want to go to more universities and colleges to speak about it.
Mm-hmm.
And so for us, that we're very humbled and honored that you chose us to be here.
Flying all the way from LA just to come and talk to us. Like,
right. And his whole family and friends, they're so awesome. So we didn't mention this before, but why Papa Joe?
I've had that name since I was 19 years old. It was given to me by a 35-year-old man. Said, you're like a good provider. You're like a father figure. You're like a Papa Joe. And everyone went, oh my God, that's it.
Papa Joe. Wow, and it stuck. Yeah. And I wanted to talk a little bit more about Electric Negro. And
please.
I think this is a perfect month because we're celebrating Black History Month.
Yes,
and why not with your success and everything you're doing. So you're coming up with your latest project, right? An animated Black superhero series entitled Electric Negro, which you just mentioned is your nickname.
Yes.
So tell us a little bit more about this series and what you're hoping to accomplish with it.
Oof.
I know, it's a lot to pack in.
That's a loaded
question.
All right, let me try to break it down. All right, basically, It's a new animated superhero that, like I said, it started off being a nickname, but now it's a new animated superhero that I've developed and been cultivating for the last 5 years now. But now it's coming to fruition with celebrities like Denzel Whitaker from Black Panther. AJ McClain from the Backstreet Boys is now on board. I'm just kind of creating this movement to tell a story of a superhero through the eyes of our lens, so to speak. Because being Black History Month and being a Black male, I want to tell a story through our lens. Yeah. And be creative and just have fun with it. Yeah, but everybody's on board. We're going to be pitching it to networks hopefully soon. But everybody can go to electricnegro.com and check it out. I'm excited about it.
And how did you get in contact with everyone that's, you know, that's trying to be involved, like the voice actors?
To be honest with you, everything's been grassroots.
Really?
Wow. Yeah. Literally, the person that did my theme song was the one that introduced me to AJ. Another co-star introduced me to Denzel. And literally everything's just been ripple effect into the next person.
That's what I tell people, connections and networking.
Correct. You are loving life.
Try to be.
You are loving good. Life.
Try to be.
But, no, it's really impressive.
But also with all this success, you know.
Here comes that question.
Here it comes. I remember I told you to get ready for this one. With all this success, I know you went through failures. I know you went through really dark places because you can't get this far without going through these places. You can't get this far without going to your corner and shedding some tears and just asking God, why me? You can't. God shows you like eventually that he has everything under control, but there are times where you doubt. It's the human in us.
You see me tearing up right now, thinking about it. Yep.
Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Gotta have faith. You gotta keep your faith.
Amen.
And realize that it is real. And that was a deep one. Why you do this to me?
Speak from the heart.
I know.
You got this.
You got it, Papa Joe.
Yeah.
No, you know what though? I rely on my faith.
Yeah.
And I keep that to my heart.
Yeah.
And because I've seen the miracle of what God's capable of doing.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
I don't need anybody else to tell me to believe in it. I can believe in it for myself because I've witnessed it for myself because I'm walking my truth.
Yes. Yes.
That's very true. And to be able to motivate, you know, I've done all the party stuff, all the fun stuff. Now I want to motivate and educate and to inspire. And I try not to get in those dark places, but when I'm there, I just rely on my faith and friends and family that are here just to support, you know, and just talk about it and just not, you know, one of the things that I used to do was I used to clam up, keep it all to myself. I ain't telling nobody.
Yeah.
I'm going to stay dark and miserable and figure it out for myself. Now it's like, no, talk about it. Open yourself up.
Yes.
And especially with all the mental illness issues that are going on in society, that we got to talk. We got to be open. You know what I'm saying? Just like you and I. I didn't know, look, we went in opposite directions, but now look, now we got something to talk about.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. So, I mean, so trust me, when I'm in my dark place, yo, bro.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah, it's
I think in my heart, it's no coincidence you're here. I think it was really God's plan for you to be here, for everyone to be here.
Definitely.
Just for your story to be told because, you know, I needed to hear this. I'm sure you needed to hear this, you know, and just be here in community to let you know that, yes, God has never left your side and he will continue to be with you. You know, as long as you have faith, I mean, he's going to keep being there with you no matter what.
Mm-hmm. I mean, go ahead.
I'm sorry, but I feel like you hit something key there with saying that people bottle everything up. Mm-hmm. And it's very true. It could happen to the highest leaders. People bottle everything up, and that is the wrong thing to do, because when you speak about your fears, when you speak about what you're going inside, you're releasing that. Mm-hmm. But if you keep it in there, it's going to destroy you. It will destroy you mentally, physically, spiritually, and
let me put this into an example for you. Skydiving was one of the things that I was most fearful of.
Okay. That's why you did it.
Okay. Skydiving was number one on my bucket list. Number one on my bucket list was to skydive. It's the most thing I'm fearful because I'm terrified of heights.
Me too.
Terrified.
That's why I said what I said.
But guess what? once I was able to get under the weight restrictions and then commit the act and do it, and again, have faith and then face that fear, guess what? I would love to get my certification if I could in skydiving so I could teach other people how to face their fears because I love it.
Really?
My God, I loved it. Best experience of my
life.
Did
you feel like you was flying?
Oh my God, floating on air. I'm dead serious. So the one thing that I can say is the one thing that I was most fearful of that I faced is now the most one thing that I love and would like, if I could do it forever, I would. Mm. I would jump out of a plane right now again if I could. Because cool. That's something that, you know what I'm saying? So if you continue to face, you got to face your fears.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And if you face them, you know, you never look what is possible.
Yeah.
It's like when you conquer fear, it opens up doors to opportunities or things that you just never realized because you were so focused on that. Mm-hmm. And there is the, you know, I always say let go and let God.
That's it.
Because I'm just like, you know what? He has it all control and why should I worry? Because I deal with anxiety and there's, you know, obviously that's why I love, like you said, you have a group of friends and people that are around you that are supportive. And that's why I love my team and the people around, you know, people that love me. Because when I'm going through those moments, they're like, breathe.
You got this, girl. You got this. Right.
Breathe. And
they talk you off the ledge.
Yeah. And I'm like, you know what? You're right. Yeah. Or like when I'm like, you know, my anxiety, he's like, girl, don't say my, because you don't own it. All right. That's not yours.
It's not yours to keep. It's not like, yours to keep.
When he said that, I was like, Lord. Literally, like the angels coming down, like.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, it's not yours to keep.
I like
it's
that. I like that a lot.
A lot of people say my anxiety, my depression. It's not yours to keep.
Yeah.
You can acknowledge that it's attacking you. Mm. You can acknowledge that it's attacking you, but you can't say that it's yours to keep. And that's why many of us fall victim to mental illness. Many of us fall victim to anxiety, frustration, depression, anger, because we say my anger.
Yeah.
We gotta stop declaring that. You know, I've always said, and I've said it time and time again, that we always build up these negative thoughts, and we bottle them up inside, and they become mental monsters.
I call them Roblox.
Build up positive thoughts.
Yep.
Build up positive thoughts.
That's why Electro Negro's coming, baby.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Positive thoughts. That's what I'm saying. A positive superhero. That's it. That's what I'm bringing to the table. Yeah. And that and everything else. Yep. But how do you stay positive?
How do I stay positive?
Yep.
God. First of all, God. I know that I'm chosen. I know that I'm chosen to do what I'm doing now. I wake up and I keep constant communication with him. I wake up at 3 in the morning. And I keep constant communication with him. 3 in the morning. Why 3 in the morning? Because nobody's awake. Nobody's distracting me.
You know there's a special number to that, though.
What's that?
To 3. You know there's a special relationship to 3 and God, right?
What is it? That's the first one from that. I've never heard that one.
Look it up. Look up the numeric 3.
The Trinity?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now I see where you're going.
Yeah, there's a lot of symbolic numbers.
But the fact that you're up at that time, I'm up at that time as well. That's why I know. I speak on it as well.
I mean, I'm up at that time because there's no noise. Nobody's up with me.
Okay. But that's when you have your best talks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's when I have the best communication. That's when I feel like I'm just connected. Mm-hmm. I'm connected. I put on my beats and I put on some worship music and I let it go. I let it go.
We're cut from the same cloth, my friend.
Hey.
We're on different spectrums. That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
3 pounds. Yeah.
3 pounds?
I was 3 pounds. I was born 12 inches, 3 pounds.
What?
Wow.
Yeah.
My daughter was born 2 pounds and 11 ounces.
How long was she in?
She was in the NICU for 72 days.
Okay.
Yeah. 72 days. And that's another thing. That's another thing that makes me stay positive. Because that was my darkest time when my daughter was in the NICU. I thought I was going to lose her. I really did think I was going to lose her. And every day through my church, my team, God showed me that he was under control. Me that he was under control. No, you're good. God showed me that he was under control. And every day I look at her, I see God.
Amen.
So that's what keeps me positive.
I love hearing that. That's awesome.
Yeah. And that's what you, that's honestly what Electro Negro will do. And mm-hmm. We are declaring that now in Jesus' exactly. name, in Jesus' name, that, you know, this will extend to so many people's lives and really impact others to see that you're starting something. And it's so creative, too. You're Thank doing you. An animated series.
Well, see, the thing is, I kind of did it backwards and I found out. I went from an idea to a clothing line to an animated series, and it should have been the other way around. But an idea, animated series, then clothing lines. But it's all within God's plan. I've been able to meet people like Holly and G here, and you
We're
know
great.
Everybody
They're
here.
Awesome.
You know what I'm saying? Everybody, you know. And I've been able. It's been able to be able to network and to be able to meet great people like that. And now that the animated series is coming to play, now it's taking everybody to be like, "Yo, let's do this!"
Oh my God!
But I'm really excited about it. Like again, it's just spreading that positive message, and again, coming from an African American. Through the eyes of the lens of a black man, you know, and what that life is like, you know, and if that person had a superhero powers, you know, what are you gonna do with it?
Yeah.
If you had powers, what would you do with
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
Oh man.
Would you?
That's
do
a good it? Question.
Exactly. So answer it. What would you do with this? With, if you had superpowers, what would you do? Good. Yeah. Bad.
That's true. Yeah. I would want to do good. Yeah. Yes, I would yeah. want to do yeah. good. Yeah. Of course.
But again, you're growing up through, as a teenager, you've got Instagram, right. you got social media and all these other aspects. So we're just talking about that. And that's some of the things, that some of the issues that we're going to bring to the table is politics, racism, and youth culture. So we're going to talk Amazing. A little bit about it all in a fun way. We're going to poke fun at everybody.
Man, I can't wait to see this.
Yeah.
No, seriously.
We're going to poke fun at everybody.
So a little fun fact. I am a production assistant, so I've worked with like some documentaries mm-hmm. and other stuff like that. But I think it's interesting, like how's the process of Electric Negro going? How are you starting it off with anime? Ooh, we just got some little flyers. This is so cute.
You got little stickers.
Oh.
There you go.
This is awesome.
Everybody go to electricnegro.com. You can check it out there. But how did it come about? Like yeah, I said, it started off with an idea. I've just been crewing up and just talking to people and figuring out what people are good at, and they're bringing their talents to the table to bring the project to the forefront.
Awesome. And yeah. who did you hire? Who's doing your graphics?
This is an artist in Brazil that is wow. a fan of comic books, and he just fell in
I'm
love
a
with it.
Big comic book fan.
Really?
Yeah.
And see, like part of this, and like he's incorporating his ideas into the project. So like that, this
Big
character.
He's the villain?
No, this is Shango. God of thunder and lightning, which is actually part of the Brazilian culture.
Okay.
Which is actually part of the Brazilian culture. So we're incorporating that into the storyline as well.
Okay.
So you got this black kid that gets powers from the God of Thunder and Lightning.
Awesome.
Yeah. So it's incorporating different cultures.
Yeah, yeah.
Different people, different races. As you can see, it's a very diverse cast.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, I see that.
Yeah. But I've got a lot of celebrities that have come on board to lend their voices. And yeah, we're just ready to take it to the next level.
And I love
That's
that.
So cool.
I love that, you know, celebrities, because a lot of people think, when you think of celebrities or like people who are high up there, that they won't waste their time, you know, trying to help other people. But I'm like, you know what? That's not true.
Let me put it this way. When the person that did the theme song, Dave Finley, mm-hmm. introduced me to AJ from the Backstreet Boys, basically I got a text saying he wants to play your villain. And that's all I got.
That's crazy.
I hadn't even talked to him. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Because you know why? Your word spoke for itself.
All my friend Dave said, yo, I just did a theme song for a show called Electric Negro. What's that? Oh, a new comic book series or a new animated series. Because at first it was a comic book and then I turned it into an animated yeah. series. But literally the text back I got back, AJ wants to play your villain.
Oh.
No, because like I was saying, your work spoke for itself.
Yeah.
And I say this because we always talk about, like, you know, we want to do something that obviously represents us and is genuine and honest.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously that's what you do. That's what you are. Your character, your energy is just so honest and humbling. Honestly, when you came in the room, I was like, dang, I feel happy. I'm happy over here. You know what I'm saying? Like,
you got the party posse.
It's about traffic. And then, then you know, Papa yeah. Joe's here. And honestly, it's a great, I can see, you know, your spirit is joyful. And that's something a lot of people need. You know, they need to have that joy, that peace. It's funny because I was just reading Galatians, I think it was 5:22, and it was saying that the fruit of the spirit is loving, is peace, is kindness, is joy. And I was just like, dang, that's true. So when I'm in traffic and someone's trying to bust in front of me, I'm like, you know, the fruit of the spirit. I'm like, The Lord, I'm like, the Lord is testing me. Amen. I was like, the Lord is testing me right now.
So I was like, just talk to me, preach to me.
And yes. Literally, when Papa Joe called me, I'm like, Papa Joe, I'm on my way right now.
Stuck in traffic, that's all. We won't
yeah.
be there.
Yeah, your mom was like, yeah, we were in traffic. But I was like, no, as long as you're here, as you're here and you're safe and you're good, that's all that matters. Yeah. But I think that's interesting that to connect it back to, you know, your show and everything you're doing, that's mm-hmm. what it is. You're producing fruit that just, it's good. Mm-hmm. It's bearing good fruit.
Thank you.
And that's amazing. Any last words I would say, maybe some advice or encouraging words that you will offer to anyone, maybe it's to accomplish a goal or something.
Well, there's two things that I say that you have to look out for yourself in life. One is your health and wellness, and two is your goals and dreams. And both of those require motivation. But do not give up, because anything is possible. And I hate to sound cliche about it, but it really is. I'm living proof of that. And if you really want it, mean it.
Yeah.
Plain and simple. Yeah. You know? And somebody told me this, and I actually had the opportunity to speak with someone on a high level to move the show that I'm going to be meeting with to move this. And he said, how bad do you want this? And I said, bad. He said, prove it. I said, okay. You know what I'm saying? But whereas other people, they're not, you know what I'm saying? Talk.
Yeah.
So be a man of your word or a woman of your word and stick to it. Yeah. And if it's not for you, then find something that's going to work for you.
Yeah.
It's okay. You tried.
That's it. You tried. It's not a failure. You're just moving on to something else, you know, but, try to stay passionate with it and stick to it as much as possible. Yeah. But if it's your health and wellness, that's a no-brainer. Because you need, in order for you to focus on your goals and dreams, you got to be healthy. That's it. Mm-hmm. Especially for you. Mm-hmm. All them young college students out there, you want to be, you know.
Stay away from Taco Bell.
No ramen for dinner.
You really have to. And just stay focused on it. And you can do it, you know. Just like you. You wanted to be bigger, you did it.
Yeah.
That's it. True.
Amen.
That's true.
Amen.
That's true. That's mama's love right there, Mama y'all. That's mama's love right there.
Where can people contact you? You know, social media
and websites? At The Electric Negro. On Instagram at The Electric Negro or at Papa Joe Aviance or electricnegro.com or papajoeaviance.com.
Okay, and we need a favor.
Yes.
So if you don't mind saying, this is Papa Joe and you're listening to The District Channel.
This is Papa Joe Aviance and you're listening to The District Channel.
Woo! All right. And there you have it, folks. That was Papa Joe. Thank you so much for being here. We really appreciate you and your words. We needed to hear that. I'm sure everyone else needs to hear this. So we bless you in Jesus' name and everything that's, you know, going to happen in your life. And just really humble and honored that you took the time to come here with us and just share moments. And to your family and friends for being here as well and sharing this moment with us.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, it's been amazing. This was The District Channel. It's your girl, Yanni, a.k.a. Jubetta.
It's your boy, Arvin, a.k.a. Superman, the Silverback. And we are out.
Yes.